I would like to applaud you for being rude to Bruce Willis in a way that's not overly apparent. So it's not clear that you are being rude to Bruce Willis.
And I'm being rude to 1987 Bruce Willis, not 2024 Bruce Willis.
This is great footwork down the sidelines.
I'm doing it.
You're not out of bounds. You're staying in bounds, but it's close. Hello and welcome to episode number 550 of the podcast. I'm your host, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to the life of idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things entertain but do not matter.
To find out more about these lyrical pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at the podcast, and we're on Twitter at podcastpod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking misheard lyrics.
But before we do that, you guys, it's April. It's the Final Four. It's Canine Fitness Month. It's Jazz Appreciation Month, led by, of course, Ryan Gosling. And it's time for a brand new shop directly from the podcast. And might I say the goods, they are real good. We have four, count them, four collections fresh off the runway. First, we have the podcast collection. We've got On Wednesdays We Podcast merch. We've got Cringe But Free, Protect the Vibe. We got hats. Listen, we've got a crossbody that rivals Lululemon. We've got stickers. We've got pins, P-I-N-S. One of the presidential variety in honor of the season here in America. Our second collection is the BeFots collection, including the If You Know, You Know, That'll Make Sense on Wednesday. And speaking of BeFots, they received a discount code to save off their entire order in the shop. Our third collection is the Live Show collection. We have sweatshirts, tees, totes, pins. Plus, if you can't join us in Dallas or Chicago in June, where our faces can see your faces, you can pick up your live stream ticket in our shop. And then our final collection is the, what I'm calling lovingly, the Digital Delights. We have some bundles back from the archives that you can own forever, including two seasons of The Bachelor and Bachelorette, a rom-com collection, and a Mother's Day bundle. Plus, the funnest update is we can now ship, just like Pitbull, worldwide. We invite you to smooch this collection, marry your favorite item, and kill all other spending ideas this spring. Fun fact, the shop is directly from the podcast. No third party shenanigans here. We've made sure every piece of this collection is top notch and your order is lovingly packaged by our own team. Now, this is a very limited time offer. We're only taking pre-orders for 13 days through Tuesday, April 16th. So do not dilly-dally. Head to knoxandjamie.com/shop or the link in the show notes for all the merch goodness.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
All right, Jamie, we are here to talk misheard lyrics. Does it feel fair to say this is probably one of the, I don't want to say the best, but like one of the most, I don't even want to say iconic. That feels like very annoying to say iconic about right. Like something you did. So it's not iconic. I'm not saying that.
No,
but like
I won't say
one
that.
Of the most, what about infamous episodes of like the front catalog of shows.
You know, I love an infamous reference. Yes, mm-hmm. This is infamous. This was so talked about and begged for to come back. And then we had to work through a lot of emotional damage. Mm. We had to work through our own legal process. And then we have been able to bring it back, which we're so excited about. And listen, literally when we did the call for request for Misheard Lyrics from the audience, I got 3 texts. Wait, are you doing Misheard Lyrics? Is this coming back? And they were so pumped. So I know that it's almost iconic, but we can't say it, but you could say it. If you're,
if somebody said that, I wouldn't be like, you're wrong. I'd be like, well,
I'd love to quote you on that. Yeah.
Your words, God's ears, et cetera.
That's right.
I think to your point, we haven't done it since for a couple reasons. One, it's a tough edit just because there's a lot of sounds going in and out and we have a quick turnaround time. So that's difficult. Probably two, the biggest, more important one is it's a little murky in terms of the copyright corners and waters.
That's
right. And we always try to land on the side of let's don't go to prison or court or jail. So we've tried to steer clear a little bit, but we thought it was going to be okay and we were going to be safe because we're going to observe fair use. We're going to respect the art. We're going to respect the artist. We're going to correct the record on their lyrics. So we feel like we're in a safe space to have this episode.
Plus we got legal advice, which always helps.
That's right.
Always helps. Yes.
Speaking of safe space, I think the goal here is it's an episode where, you know, people have been very vulnerable. They've admitted some incorrect observations of their own.
Right.
So there's not going to be any judgment here. There's maybe a little judgment, but like in good fun, you know, we're going to use this opportunity to be vulnerable, to learn from each other. So I think this will be good. You and I actually, we revealed our own Misheard Lyric, like our own favorite personal Misheard lyric stories to the BFOTS on Monday, which you can also hear by becoming a BFOTS, knoxgmail.com/Patreon. But for today, we're going to be in a trust tree of lyrical ignorance. And I think we're both really excited to do
that. Yes. Right and now. We are going to need to be in a trust tree because some of y'all are wackadoo. Wackadoo.
You know, when we were thinking and talking about doing this episode again, I went back to the first one. And I was just checking some of the notes and I noticed in one of the submissions that we talked about, I think we did a 2-parter in the second part, Charlotte.Sos, she outed her sister, who actually happens to be working with us now, Emily Zarbach. And she said that Emily thought that the 98 Degrees song where it says, I do cherish you, she thought it was, I do shine your shoes.
You for the rest of my life. No, love is about equality. Everyone can shine everyone's shoes.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So, but speaking in terms of origins, this is pretty topical and timely too, because one of the most enduring aspects of the show and like inside jokes, I guess, that we have came from the original Misheard Lyrics episode. And it was the baptism maybe of Jason Waterfalls, given that so many people in the first couple of iterations of the Misheard Lyrics episodes incorrectly assumed that the TLC song Waterfalls had the lyric, instead of don't go chasing waterfalls, they thought it was don't go Jason Waterfalls. Well, speaking of TLC, we got a really good Misheard Lyric about another one of their iconic songs that we wanted to use. This is from Tammy_Brothers 2019. And she thought that the lyric was, a scrub is a guy who thinks he's fine, but also known as a bus stop.
A scrub is a guy that thinks he's fine and is also known as a bus stop. Always talking about what he wants and just says.
Also known as a bus stop, do you feel like that's fair, Jamie? Is that a fair Misheard Lyric?
No, I actually think it's fair. Let's first address the other lyric. So she's like, I misheard it. I think it says bus stop. She also thinks it says fine. And it's like, a scrub is a guy who thinks he's fly. The word is fly.
You know what? I think I thought it was fine too. I think I really thought it was fine too.
But that's okay. Listen, I do think a bus stop is like, if you're listening to TLC and understand, for context, all my little Gen Z babies gather around, okay, to understand the TLC of it all, because this is No Scrubs was TLC's lead single from their third studio album, Fan Mail, released in 1999. This was past the juggernaut that already was TLC. And to give you context, TLC's first album, which was Crazy Sexy Cool, 1994, year I graduated from high school, everything I thought about was this album. Okay. This made them the best selling female singing group in American history. American history, with 23 million certified albums. Let me give you context. If you combine the sales of Taylor Swift's last five albums, Midnights, Evermore, Folklore, Lover, and Reputation, it would still not be as many albums as TLC sold with Crazy Sexy Cool. That is what a powerhouse this trio was. And so, like, of course, we were all trying to figure this out, because we were like, I feel like a lot of us in the suburbs, the whiteies, were like, I also understand that I do not want any scrubs in my life. And we're just trying to figure this out. And so I understand that Tammy heard this and she was like, that's right. A guy that thinks he's a scrub is a guy who thinks he's fly, and we call them bus stops. Like, it feels right. Like, it feels like something someone would have written in their live journal.
That's the thing with a lot of these Mr. Lyrics, like, you can really, if you artistically manipulate it, you can make it work. It doesn't mean it's always the best kind of metaphor or, yeah, or lyrical choice, but you can make it happen. And I think to your point about TLC and like their popularity, they were so popular that when Left Eye burned down Andre Rison's house, I was a big Andre Rison fan. I liked his style. I was like, right. I don't know. Let's hear her side.
I feel like she has some great points to make.
She did. Man, shout out a legend. Okay, let's go. We had, you know, when I went back and looked at our part one and part two of the first one, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. They misunderstood Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls as Don't Go Jason Waterfalls.
Yeah.
So I thought that's a good, that doesn't mean you're right, but it does mean like you're not as alone in your ignorance. And we also, in that respect, for this time around, we had another couple of commonalities. The first one, candy.canady. And this was also Neil H. Tack _ Rachel Ryder Today, Little Hawks on the Prairie, and Andrea Jones. They all thought that when Timbaland and One Republic collabed on a song, Apologize, they thought it was It's Too Late to Call the Judge. Jamie, does that feel reasonable? Too late reasonable. To call a judge.
So this is this. Did you realize that this song was actually on Timbaland's album? This was in 2007 on his album Shock Value.
I did not know that. I thought he was just like a guest on it. You know?
No, isn't that amazing? Because, and listen, that's fair, because Ryan Tedder, the lead singer of One Republic, a kind of mid looking guy from Oklahoma.
You think like Walmart version of Adam Levine?
That's 100% right. Yeah. So the Equate Great Value,
yeah,
Adam Levine, went to Oral Roberts University.
Wow. Okay.
Like, talk about an iconic. And you might be like, well, why would he be an iconic alum? Well, as a reminder, Ryan Tedder wrote the following. I'm just going to give you a sample. Well, that song, which is obviously we all knew, but Bleeding Love, Leona Lewis, Already Gone, Kelly Clarkson, Rumor Has It, Adele, Neon Lights, Demi Lovato, Welcome to New York, Taylor Swift, Sucker, Jonas Brothers, Halo, Beyonce, and of course, the one we're all thinking of, He Said, She Said by Ashley Tisdale. Mm-hmm. So this is a guy who is a prolific songwriter, and you would think that people would honor that and respect that and be like, no, there's no way he would be, it's too late to call the judge. Uh-huh. Because if you call the judge, like, you think in other parts of your relationship, it isn't too late to call the judge?
Here's the thing. I think a lot of this is about how do you think judges work? Because to me, I thought you only get to call a judge when you're looking for a warrant, because that's what, like, you know, TV has told me.
Right.
And unless you're in law enforcement, it really doesn't make sense to try to call a judge, unless we're thinking in Old Testament terms. And I feel like those judges were probably a little bit more accessible. Honestly, probably what led to their downfall, being a little too accessible. Look at you, Samson.
Read Judges if you want to learn more about that in the Bible.
It's
Thanks.
Not a fun time. No. But I don't know. In my experience, judges are not very accessible. And I will say, some of these lyrics, when you hear them, you're like, yeah, I can hear that. I don't hear that. It's too late to call the judge.
And can I be honest, all of these people that you referenced earlier, particularly Little Hawks on the Prairie, because mm-hmm. that's a great name.
It's a great name.
I do just want to note for the record that the word is in the title of the
it
song.
Is. That, it, that is. That
it's right there, y'all.
It's right there. An issue. I will
There's
say.
There's going to be another one of those later, and I still don't understand how we miss the word that's in the title.
And that's okay. Sometimes you don't always know the title songs. I've been there. I understand that. I think the only Instagram name that I think would be better than Little Hawks on the Prairie would be Little Honks on the Prairie. It's just family white people. That'd be hilarious, to be honest with you.
And just own it. Guys, we're owning it. We're owning
our Donks on the Prairie, just family donk. Like, there's just a lot of opportunity here for that. So that was one a lot of people got tricked into. Another one, this was just two, but I thought it was enough to talk about as a commonality. This is from the song Secret Agent Man by Johnny Rivers. Brun _ Party of Five and Megan Barrett, 16, they both thought this was Secret Asian Man.
Secret Asian Man, Secret Asian Man. They've given you a number and taken away your name.
Okay, that's a bop. Here's the thing. That's a Johnny Rivers song that was put out in 1966. It was actually a theme song for a TV show that was coming from Britain. It was a British spy series, and they made the song for it because Brits are like, we don't need theme songs. And America's like, we must have a theme song.
We have to.
We just cannot survive without it. But here's the thing. I can hear it on the first verse in the chorus, or the first line in the chorus. I can hear Secret Asian Man. And what if this Agent Man was Asian? Does that change the song? I don't think it does.
I don't think it does either. I don't think it does. The only case you could make for me is if this song was like a metaphor for the Japanese internment camps in World War II, you know, giving them a number, taking away. Like, I thought this feels a little too fun and breezy to be about that. But if it was, I'd be like, okay, I do understand the murkiness.
Well, to be fair, this song came out in 1966. And in that same decade was when Asian immigrants were actually allowed to come to the United States.
Okay.
Finally, fun fact, History Corner, how you doing? Racist History Corner.
I was going to say, I don't know, fun fact, it's fact. That's one where it's like, I heard it. Like you said,
I heard it the first time.
So this is not about calling a judge. I don't hear that. I do hear this one. So I think that's helpful.
And listen, we'll include a link in the show notes. The best version of this song, because it's been covered many times, which is so interesting that this is like a heart, like, can I get a cover? I just want the last song of my album to be this. But my favorite is the 1987 album, The Return of Bruno.
Okay.
Which is Bruce Willis's album. And so I would like you all to go and listen to him and see what you think of whether he's saying Secret Asian Man.
I would like to applaud you for being rude to Bruce Willis in a way that's not overly apparent. So
that's
it's not clear that you are being rude to Bruce Willis.
And I'm being rude to 1987 Bruce Willis, not 2024 Bruce Willis.
This is great footwork down the sidelines.
I'm doing it.
You're not out of bounds. You're staying in bounds, but it's close. Well done. Well done. Okay, we're going to get to some other misheard lyrics, but I think I want to establish maybe like a way to be able to talk about and consider these misheard lyrics. Like, I want to apply like a lens of, are they reasonable? Are they unreasonable? Or even like, do you prefer the misheard lyric over the real one? Like, I want us to be able to have kind of some guardrails on how we consider these lyrics. Does that make sense?
I love it. I love that.
And I do think like, kind of like with the judge, it's too late to call a judge. I kind of think there's a quote about like artistic interpretation, and they're like, it tells you more about the art than the person doing the interpretation. I feel like with misheard lyrics, someone who keeps wanting to hear that it's too late to call a judge, I feel like they're in a lot of legal issues. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the Freudian misinterpretation is probably telling us a little bit about yourself.
Like, they're in and out of jail. Like,
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, first, misheard lyric we want to talk about through that lens. This is from Will Smith's iconic song Miami, and KP Stein said, I thought the background girl was saying, and believe me, I'm Miami. I took French in high school. Can you tell? Okay, obviously the correct lyric is Bienvenidos a Miami. And believe me, I'm Miami. It's not correct. I can hear it. It feels reasonable to me.
Well, listen, if you're a woman, a hot woman, because you can tell she's V-hot. You can tell that, like, if she's like, and believe me, welcome to Miami. I'm Miami.
Yeah.
Like, I like the double entendre of it all. Like, I do prefer, I might prefer Miss Hart. I do not want to erase. I do not erase the Spanish of this, you know, obviously. This is Miami. It's Will Smith. Listen, Will Smith from his debut solo album, Big Willie Style, 1997. Mm-hmm. Also, this was the fifth single off this album. If that gives you any context of how many bangers are on this album, this was number five. They were like, no, we can't. We got Men in Black. We got Just Cruising. We got Getting Jiggy With It. We got Just the Two of Us, a very underrated Will Smith song. This sold 9 million copies.
You know, and the thing with, because this was, I don't know if this is like height of Will Smith powers, but it's about to drop, because once he goes Wild Wild West, that's when it goes, you know, the inflection point of could have been Neo in the Matrix versus now he's in Wild Wild West, rapping about the Wild Wild West. I don't know if there's ever been a more precipitous fall. I will say Will Smith naming an album Big Willie Style, it now feels really cringe. Even in the moment, it felt close to cringe. He was someone kind of like you just a few minutes ago when you didn't make fun of Bruce Willis,
uh-huh.
But some people could interpret that.
No.
His ability to sidestep the sideline of almost being cringe and corny, but not actually being cringe and corny, I think it was pretty respectable.
You think it's the same if, like, today, if, let's say, Timothée takes that musical styling,
okay,
and he's like, I'm now going to make an album because I'm a movie star,
sure,
and I'm now going to make an album, and I'm going to call it BDE. Is that the same? Is that adjacent? Is that vibe adjacent?
If he did, like, instead of Lisan Al-Ghaib, he did, like, Rizan Al-Ghaib and, like, did a rap album, I'd be like, oh, no. Oh, I don't think I'm going to allow this, but I would listen to it just to see.
I would listen to the crap out of it. Yeah, I would.
It's pretty good. I'm okay with this. Do you find this reasonable, unreasonable, or do you prefer the misinterpretation?
I weirdly prefer the misheard. I do prefer it.
I like it. I agree. This is one you're probably going to prefer as well. Maybe one of my favorites out of the whole group. All right, so this is from the song, this is from Jaquan's Tipsy. Amy Buzz thought it was Now Everybody in the Club Getting T's. Now, obviously, the correct lyric is everybody in this B word getting tipsy.
Yeah, so that's the fun fact. Nox just played you the Kidz Bop version, which apparently is all Amy ever listened to, because it's always been B word. Everybody in this B word getting tipsy. Again, yet another incident of the word is in the title of the song, which, to be fair, I could get where you would be like, did she think the title of the song was tipsy?
Oh man. Mm. Honestly, when you hear it, I hate to say this, like, but just in the interest of being like a linguistical anthropologist, it does feel like everybody in the club getting tits. That's what it sounds like to me.
Fair.
When I hear it.
Fair.
So now, I feel like she's not even interpreted correctly.
No, wrongly. That's probably not true. So Tipsy, this was the debut single from a debut album. Jaquan, I mean, coming in hot, and then where'd you go? But this is from his studio album Hood Hop from 2004. Listen, everybody in this B word getting tipsy. God,
yeah.
That's such a great, like, to this day, I will be like, we're all gummied at the lake, like on a very white woman weekend trip, even when people of color are there also, but it feels very white woman-y, right? If you know what it feels like, it feels Diane Keaton.
Okay.
Like in a movie, in a Nora Ephron movie. That's what it always feels like, because we're all wearing.
This started really cool. And it's gotten a lot worse.
No, for some people listening, it's gotten better. They're like, oh, is she wearing gauzy white? Yes, she's wearing gauzy white. Of course she is. She has a scarf covering her neck that she feels bad about.
Okay, like, here's what I'm seeing. The way you just explained, I'm seeing all of you in a pool, and like in inner tubes, and one of you like for no reason crying. And that's not a fun vibe.
FYI, that is show frenemy Catherine. So that's 100% how it goes.
The hard part for Amy Buzz is... he does, like, to your point about it being the title, he does repeat the chorus 8 times.
Right.
Eight times. And you could argue four of it is like normal volume. Four is kind of whispered. Right. So maybe that's a little misleading, but I think I would just say, you know, and part of it is I like to come back to like, what does it mean for everyone in the club to be getting titties, Amy Buzz? What does that actually mean? Like in terms of like the language of it, but also the intent of the language of it, how would you clarify that?
It actually feels very inclusive. In some ways, I like that. Like I do, and it's reasonable because now I'd be like, everybody's getting titties.
That's right. All titties matter in the club.
No, in this B word.
Oh, I'm sorry. So reasonable, unreasonable, or do you prefer the misheard lyric?
No, this is unreasonable. It's tipsy. It's in, he says it 19 times. He says it 87 times in this song. This is on you, Amy. This is on you being titty focused.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
So Knox, you know that I don't need to be convinced to buy myself a Prezi, but all that talking about getting new sun tops for your pair eyewear glasses got me super excited to go get some for myself.
Oh yeah? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm so glad you asked because I cannot wait for our new merch to arrive so that I can wear the purple reflective sun top with my That'll Make Sense on Wednesday t-shirt. Erin, how great will those two look together?
Oh my gosh, so cute. Should I get one so we can match?
Well, I do feel like the lavender tortoise split sun top is more your style. No, right?
Now I want both of them, Jamie.
Well, did you know that Pair is super budget friendly, so you could get both. Their base frames start at just $60, and that includes the prescription. I love that they have simple to understand all-in-one pricing. You can even use your FSA, HSA, or easily get an insurance reimbursement to purchase the base frames. And the top frames start at just $25, and the sun top frames start at just $30. So you can easily get two without breaking the bank. They also always offer free shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy, so it's super low risk to give them a try. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to paireyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair and support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's pair, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com, code POP.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. It's Knox here with your annual reminder that Mother's Day is just around the corner. This year, let's think outside the box a little bit, guys. Forget sweaters, candles, or the dreaded bathrobe. They're all so predictable and boring. That's why this year I'm recommending you get an Aura frame. It's the perfect gift to mix things up and give a gift that shows some real thoughtfulness and is guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. We actually have one of these in our house right now, and we absolutely love it. It only takes about 2 minutes to set up, and it was super easy. Between all the kids, I was a little worried we'd run out of room, but it has free unlimited storage for photos and videos, and you can invite as many people as you want to contribute to the frame. Now that the kids are a little older, we've added them as contributors to the frame, and it's been really fun to see a few of their photos pop up from events they attend without us. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's Aura, A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code PODCAST at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, next up, this is from M.N. God, honestly, I'm going to say this, Mindy. Mindy with 15 periods. I like what you've done aesthetically.
Right.
I hate having to say it out loud. That's when you've really lost me, when I have to say it. So it's M.I.N.D.Y.
Wait, so, why didn't she dot between the I and the N? Why didn't you just go all the way?
M.N.D.Y. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no rational explanation for
right.
why she did that.
I don't know why she did
But maybe we can have a rational explanation for how when she heard Jay-Z and Alicia Keys' Empire State of Mind, she heard Concrete Jungle, Wet Dream, Tomato.
Concrete Jungle, Wet Dream,
I'll say this. I hear it.
I hear it. It's actually weird. This reminds me of the iconic misheard lyric from the first time we did this episode ever, which was the, oh my God, a penguin and a llama, which is from Lion King. Right. Oh my God, a penguin and a llama. So this feels like that. Like, oh, I can get there pretty easily. This is Empire State of Mind. It is Jay-Z featuring Alicia Keys. This was on Jay-Z's 11th studio album, The Blueprint 3, that came out in 2009. 11th studio album, first number one hit that he'd ever had as the lead artist.
Really?
Isn't that nuts? But here's what I love about the song and why Tomato matters. Listen, I don't know if you know about the way this song came to be, but this was written by two women, Angela and Janet. Angela Hunt and Janet Sewell, who lived in the same building where Jay-Z lived, 560 State Street, which is referenced in the song, okay? Now, they sent it to his record label, and they were like, no, we're not interested. So they just kept it. And then they played it at a barbecue that summer, like months later. They're playing their own song, which, kudos, listen, the energy and the confidence that it takes to play your own music at a cookout. Like,
is that better or worse than acoustic guitar guy?
No, it's better. Because then you can be like, I don't know if that's me. You don't have to go around being like, that's me. You're just playing a CD.
Okay, that's fair, because if everyone is like, this is great, who is this? You can be like, it's actually myself.
It's actually me and Janet.
If they don't ask, like, you don't have to clarify it, though.
Okay. That's right. And so they end up playing at this barbecue, and Big John Platt, who worked at EMI Music Publishing, heard it and was like, this song is so good. Who did this? And they're like, we did it. And then he was like, I'm going to send this to Jay-Z. And they're like, we've already sent it to Jay-Z. And he said, no, I'm going to send it to Jay-Z. And of course, Big John Platt, Jay-Z's like, oh yeah, I love this.
Couple things. We've never had like a Big John Platt, you know? I want like a little Aaron Moon, you know, or a big Jason Water. Like, I want.
Should we start calling her Little Aaron Moon?
It feels condescending. I don't want to be condescending. I'm just, like, even like a, like who we work with at Acast, like, oh, little Allie over there, you know? Like,
oh yeah.
I don't know.
At Patreon, little Olivia, we'll call her little Liv.
Like, if it's like this Big Olivia at Patreon, is that condescending?
No, I don't think you can be Big Olivia. You can't be Big Liv. I don't want to be Big J.
No, I don't either.
Lil J? I like Lil J.
There's a kid, I used to play soccer. He was like a couple years old with me, and his name started with a K, and they call him Special K. I was like, that's the coolest thing in the world. That's the coolest thing ever. Secretly, I was jealous. Like, my name also spelled with K, but it's silent.
Do you want us to start calling you Lil Special K?
No, it's like playing your own song at a barbecue. You can't do that. You just can't ask people to call you something cool. You know, I looked up, first of all, Wet Dream Tomato. It's a great band name, number one. Number two, I did look it up on Urban Dictionary, because you never know.
Uh-oh.
And it's defined as the thing people misinterpret in Empire State of Mind. So I was like, okay, well, that makes sense.
Oh, so
there's some commonality there as
Mandy,
well.
Mandy, you have a lot of support on Urban Dictionary.
I was trying to psychologically break it down like you were, because like Wet Dream, obviously, that's there in the text. We don't need to dive into that. Tomato is another word for sunburned ginger. So I don't know.
If you're in a concrete jungle, isn't kind of a wet dream when summer gets like here in Alabama, when tomatoes are in season, it's the most magical time of the year. Like, we're just like, because, you know, Erin, she'll eat that weird sandwich with the tomato and the mayonnaise on it. And that's all that's on it.
She gets like the BLT, but she's like, hold the B and the L and just the T. And they're like, you just want a tomato sandwich? She's like, yes.
100% what she eats.
I kind of like when Aaron's not here. We just go right after.
You know what? I love when little Aaron's not here, because then we can talk about her.
Little edge. I did want to ask, do you think, because I've seen people say like Empire State of Mind, that's the New York song. Like, it's overtaken Sinatra for like New York.
100%.
You think so? Okay.
Yes. Because it's not Welcome to New York. How dare you? Taylor and her, a bodega? I know about New York things. Listen, I don't think you get to write. That's why I love, because Empire State of Mind, because they talked about when they wrote the song, it was like all the things I hated about New York, but then they were like, we would never leave. And that's what started them writing the song, because they're like, you love it, even though it drives you crazy. Taylor's like, I'm rich and I've just moved to New York and I live in Peter Jackson's old apartment. You know, the director of Lord of the Rings. Like, it's a different, and I'm not saying she doesn't love New York, but it's a different type of experience having grown up in New York. I know this is new information, but when you grow up in a place, it's just different than you're like,
you need
here.
The spectrum of the good and the bad in the middle. Maybe. And if you don't have it, so that makes sense. I assumed the Sinatra version was still the definitive one. And my theory was going to be that Empire State of Mind almost feels too much like it was trying to become the new New York song. Like, it was on the nose, a little needy in that respect,
think,
but
like,
it doesn't seem like that's true.
Gen Z knows about the Frank Sinatra song. Like, do you think they're like, I do love that Frank Sinatra. Was he in the mob? Like, because I feel like people, I just don't think people know. Is this weird? I don't think people know who Frank Sinatra is anymore.
I don't think they do. I don't think Gen Z knows at all. Honestly, when they find out, they're not going to like him. They are not going to like Frank Sinatra.
There's a lot of problems there, y'all.
I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, this is from Meredith Eck. It's good. It's a good name. It looks like Meredith Heck. So it just flows. It's really good. I like it. No underscores. No weird periods. She says, when I first heard Formation by Beyonce, I thought, and this is interesting because it's not really misheard lyric. It's a misunderstood lyric,
yes.
Right? So yeah. She said, I thought take his A word to Red Lobster was some sort of sexual euphemism. I looked it up on Urban Dictionary to see what it meant. Little did I know she was genuinely talking about hitting up Red Lobster for cheddar biscuits and a shrimp trio. I don't know that it's not now a name for sexual euphemism. That probably is a new name, but it wasn't before she said this and wrote this line.
No, listen, this song. Okay, so let's just talk about this song for a second. Formation was the surprise lead single on Lemonade from 2016. It was a surprise because she also was like, it's a surprise. Also, I'm performing in the Super Bowl. And this is going to be the song. And you just learned about it. And it's amazing. Formation created. So I just feel like if you just could go back in your head to 2016, you would remember what a controversial song this was. Like, because also paired with the video. Like, people were up in arms about this song. And it created a lot of really kind of fantastic, like El Caminos. We were like, oh, do I want an El Camino? And also Slay. This became, Slay ended up becoming a term.
It was like the birth of Slay.
Uses.
It really
it was.
Like
the birth, and, you know, and obviously. But my favorite thing about why this song was so controversial is because Rudy Giuliani at the time, he called the performance and this song in the Super Bowl outrageous. And he said, quote, I don't know what the heck it was. A bunch of people bouncing around and all strange things. It was terrible. And I just thought Beyonce should have had that needle pointed on a pillow and made Rumi and Sir sleep on it like every night and be like, remember, we don't care for the haters. Right.
The craziest thing is if you would go back in time and be like, Rudy, we'll cap it here. This is the worst thing you've ever done. This is your worst take.
Right.
Will you be good with that? Or do you want to play it out in the future? And it got a lot worse and weird.
And he was like, but maybe I could go to Four Seasons Lawn Care and I could do a press conference.
One day you'll be in front of a landscaping company with your hair dye melting off your face and announcing that things aren't going great.
Listen, let me tell you who won in this lyric is Red Lobster, because Red Lobster said that our sales went up 33% that spring. And the chain was tweeted about 42,000 times during the first hour that the song released. It said we had never trended in the history of the restaurant.
Wow.
On Twitter. And they renamed popular items after Beyonce and they called the effect the Beyonce bounce.
And you know what's interesting? And this is where I thought there's always a lot of craftsmanship and thought that goes into her, especially like her visual content, but obviously certainly her lyrical content as well. Sometimes I wonder if there's too many cooks in the lyrical kitchen that it's not as crafted as it used to be. But Red Lobster in particular, if you look into like how they started, it was started by this guy, Bill Darden, who he had first got into the restaurant business in 1938 in Waycross, Georgia. And he was famous because he refused to comply with the Jim Crow laws of Georgia.
Yeah.
And he was like, black, white, customer, don't care. Sit wherever you want. I'll serve you. No big deal, whatever. Even like he risked like getting lynched over it, but he was like, I don't care. And then he eventually parlayed his success with, it was called the Green Frog, his first restaurant. He invested in Howard Johnson Hotels, other restaurants around Florida. And then he opened Red Lobster. And I think it went so well in like the first month he opened another one and then like four other ones and then eventually sold. But he's kind of low key, like a pretty awesome guy in the 30s for what everybody else was up to. So I didn't know if that was intentionally referential to that or just like Red Lobster cheddar briskets are awesome. I don't care.
Well, I mean, interestingly, you know, we'll talk about this in the green lights, spoiler, but on Cowboy Carter, her new album, she has a song with Post Malone called Levi Jeans. And it is a callback to when she was in Destiny's Child, no designers, no stores would brand the girls and they wouldn't dress them except Levi. Levi did a collaboration with them. And so I know that that's kind of a nice callback of like, if you honor me, you just wait. You give me them Cheddar Bay biscuits?
Yeah.
I'll honor you one day, and it That's will right. benefit you tremendously.
That's right. Okay. Next up, we have K_Murphy's_Law. And they say, as a kid listening to Inside Out by Eve Six, I thought the lyric was, want to put my tender frog in a blender, watch it spin around. It's a beautiful amphibian. And boy, did I sing that loudly a lot. Inside out, find nothing but faith in nothing. I want to put my tender heart in a blender, watch it spin around to a beautiful oblivion. Rendezvous, then I'm through with you. Man, as much as I want to get there with I can hear frog and amphibian,
no.
I just can't hear it, Jamie. I don't hear it.
Oblivion could not be clearer. Like Eve Six, so this was Inside Out, American alternative rock band Eve Six, released in May of 1998 from their self-titled debut album, and it was their debut single. This is, and look, I get it. If K Murphy is like, and again, I love that your literal username is K_Murphy's_law, which again makes it seem like you're taking the law to Red Lobster. Do you know what
sure.
I mean?
Yeah.
Do you get it? What I mean by that? Yes. Okay. And then, but like, I like that it's Murphy's Law, which is the easiest explanation is the explanation of it. She's like, he is definitely saying amphibian in this song. I can tell.
Look, again, to the original point, I think K Murphy's Law as a kid just wanted a frog as a pet. Mom and dad wouldn't let them have it. So they're starting to hallucinate it into songs where it's actually not there. But to be honest, like the tender frog, beautiful amphibian, poetic consistency, that's good stuff. That's high-minded. That's impressive.
It's not bad. It sounds like a Miss Piggy. Like Miss Piggy would write this and be like, I love Kermit so much that I would put my tender Kermit in a ninja.
Yeah.
Chop it up, drink it so it could be part of me forever. Like it does feel like something
got a little sexual
Piggy
at the
would
end.
Do. Yeah.
I got a little sexual at the end for Miss
Sorry
Piggy.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean,
it's no wet dream. It's no wet dream tomato.
No, it's not. Not yet, at least. Eve Six is coincidentally. It's on the playlist for my son. My son goes to weights and conditioning like in the mornings and afternoons. And like one came on randomly on a playlist and he was like, oh, that's on my weights and conditioning playlist that the coach plays. And
that.
I was like, what else is on that? And he was like, you know, it's just mostly divorced dad music. And I like, I guessed because I knew where this was going. And I was like is Creed so on there? And he was like, oh yeah, it's all Creed. It's like basically all Creed.
Listen, my brother cooked Easter lunch for us and we were all on the deck and he was on his Blackstone making all the foods and he's really good at it. And we were listening to a divorced dad playlist. I said, I was like, it's a lot of what's going on here. You okay?
Just because it's about a divorced dad playlist doesn't mean the playlist still isn't good. The playlist is pretty good.
No, it was excellent. Yeah.
Okay, that is it for the first half of our conversation about Misheard Lyrics. If you want to hear the second half, a half which includes our favorite Misheard Lyrics, as well as revelations about our own personal Misheard Lyrics, head over to knoxjamie.com/Patreon and become BFOTS today. Current BFOTS already received the second half of this conversation. It was dropped into their BFOTS podcast feed on Monday night. So make sure to become a BFOTS today to get that premium episode, as well as all other premium content. Honestly, two of the Misheard Lyrics are probably my favorite of all time that I've ever heard.
My favorite of all time. I loved your Misheard Lyric. I shared Jan's Misheard Lyric. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you can become a BFOTS with a 7-day trial. So no commitment. And then you can bounce if you don't love it, but you're going to love it.
We Everybody think it's going to be your wet dream tomato. So we really think you should give it a shot. KnoxDemon.com/Patreon.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
All right, Jamie, you gonna do some lights?
Let's do some lights!
All right, what is your red light this week?
It's time for rapid red lights. All right, first up, in our last episode on Spring Break Confessions, we made a passing comment about which of your family members is most likely to make out with someone much younger. And red light to y'all that loaded up our DMs with the reply, quote, my mom, or quote, my dad, or the worst version, some version of your imprisoned uncle. For doing that very thing.
We said reach out to them. Don't tell us. We told you to tell them.
That's exactly right. So that's the first one. The second one, I would like to red light the French. As always, I've been to France twice, and both experiences did leave me wanting. The French do not like fat women. I can tell you that right now. They are confused by them. But actress Julia Delphi, who is really mad at when the internet finds things that are old, there's a clip going viral again where she says the following, quote, it's funny, women in Hollywood can't talk. I sometimes wish I were African-American because at least people don't bash them afterward when they say something about a reality.
Oh, Jules.
Aw, white French women who don't know how horrible that is. And the best part of that clip, by the way, we'll include a link in the show notes, is Kieran Culkin sitting next to her, moving into the fetal position in his stage chair.
He's doing Roman Roy, like next to her.
100%, 100%. Third red light, Lizzo, baby girl, you cannot blame the internet for your bad PR. You can't be like, I'm gonna quit. Listen, the PMG has a firm stance about blaming the internet when your PR team makes mistakes. Mm. And Lizzo, this applies to you too. Speaking of bad PR, Diddy, why am I seeing you shirtless on the balcony of your Miami house that was raided due to a federal investigation for sex trafficking? Also, why am I seeing an Instagram post wishing me a happy Easter when it features your toddler daughter while you're being investigated by Homeland Security for the aforementioned sex trafficking of young girls and women? No. And also, personally, hey, I just want to know, speaking of sex, who is out here in the suburbs aroused by loud cars? Okay, because there's got to be somebody, because that's the only way I can explain these ton of white guys in Corvettes with tiny diglets who thinks it gets you there. Okay, that's the only logical explanation.
Can I tell you what it's about getting themselves there. It's not about getting anyone else there.
I knew it had nothing to do with the rest of us. Oh, it makes me so mad. Now it makes me even madder.
It's tough. Yeah. Okay, my red light is I this kind of got lost in the shuffle, but I do feel like it's an important enough issue that we got to talk about it. I think I need everybody to chill out with the take that like Easter candy is the best candy.
Because Easter candy is the best candy.
Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. It's a thing. It's a thing we say, but then when we actually have to look at it, I'm inviting you, Jamie, to deconstruct your horrible candy theology, because it is reprehensible. It's a little legalistic, because people want to point to the Peeps. Peeps are trash. No, I can put them in a microwave and make them big. That's messy and disgusting and horrible. No.
I know you can do that.
You've got like Reese's eggs. I said it correctly. Credit to me. They're the I don't know if I did, honestly. It's just
you did.
Such a wise
spot. Yeah.
Thank you. They're good, but they're always anything Reese's is always good, right? So it's not like special for Easter. They're all great. Starburst jelly beans, I'll allow it. And that's pretty much it. Okay. Cadbury eggs, they're good on the first bite. But you got a lot of egg body fluid there you got to deal with. Nobody wants that. Should come with a wet wipe. But you'll get eggs and you're like, this might be delicious chocolate or something. And it's bubble gum. That's not what I'm going for with Easter candy. You get all the plastic green grass in your basket or the basket you make for your kids. And all that crap goes everywhere. It gets everywhere. It's like the packing peanuts of the Easter basket. And you can never get rid of it. And then like, you know, the iconic visual of Easter candy, it's like the hollow chocolate bunny So you just get like this empty, nothing middle, and you have to eat the ears. And it's just like this, it's not even like Hershey's chocolate. It's just like tasteless, almost dark chocolate, but not healthy for you chocolate. I just want us all to chill out on like Easter candy being the best candy. Easter as a holiday, not counting what it represents, it's like the worst holiday. It just means nothing except for what it means. So Aaron, don't rebuke me. Like that's a big deal and important for people, whatever.
No, little Aaron's not Everything here. Everything else is worse. You can say what you want. Little Aaron's not here.
Listen, come at me, little Edge. Come at me. You know where I live. You know where I'm at.
What candy is the best then? What holiday candy is the best? You gotta take a stance. You can't just come for us.
Okay, if you stand for nothing, Knox, what do you fall for? Okay, that's a fair point. I would say I'm partial to white trash at Christmas.
Yeah. Like so I'm going to say Christmas. Buddies. Okay, Christmas. Fair.
I feel like there's probably a better answer. Honestly, I'll allow that. What I know, though, is it's not Easter. It's not even in the top five.
And to be fair, you know, I'd ask on Faith Adjacent, I was like, hey, when can Reese's show up with a different type? Like, we get into a summer drought with the Reese's, right? And they have made medals for the Olympics.
Okay. That's a terrible idea, but I'm back. I'm in.
Although I think the key is that you should make, but they made the medals with the ribbon. That's too much chocolate. We want more peanut. The whole point is to get more peanut butter and a soft chocolate shell. What's bad about,
I thought you were
going to
say like a beach ball, you know, like something. Yeah. I feel like if you control the contours of it, you can really match up the chocolate and the peanut butter. I don't like
I keep saying that we should make the Constitution. That would be a perfect one for like 4th of July. A constitution that you can eat?
Man, that's a terrible idea, but I like the creativity of it. So I'm back in on that. I was going to correct. I was going to be like, we could do fireworks. No, that doesn't work. I was going to do hot dogs. That's weird. That doesn't work either. So I do think constitution, maybe it's just Nick Cage. Maybe it's just Nick Cage's face, you know, from National Treasure.
Oh, yeah. No, I like that. And you know who would love it? Nick Cage.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So chill out on Easter, everybody, and Easter candy. Jamie, what is your green light this week?
Okay, I have two green lights. The first one, I just want to acknowledge my affection. And all I did this weekend was listen to Cowboy Carter by Beyonce. It's act two, which we found out it was actually supposed to be act one. And she was like, but then it felt like there was a vibe and people needed to dance. And so she just held an album for years that she had created. That scored a rare 100 by Rolling Stone. Only two female artists have ever had more than one album score 100 on Rolling Stone, the other being Adele. No skips. We got Dolly. We got Willie. We got Linda Martell. The cover of Blackbird alone is worth the price of entry because I, like, as a reminder, Blackbird is a song written by Paul McCartney in 1968. He was reading about 9 African-American students who were harassed and threatened by white students while desegregating Little Rock, Arkansas's Central High School. And he wrote Blackbird for these women. And the fact that that particular Beyonce version features co-vocalists who are all Black women who are country music artists currently. This is a great, great, it's just a great album. Okay, so that's my first. So my second green light is a new TV show called Renegade Nell on Disney Plus. This is a historical fantasy adventure series written by Sally Wainwright. Now, Sally Wainwright did my other green light, which was Happy Valley. I love that show. And I love this show. So the story is about Nell Jackson, who finds herself framed for murder and becomes a female highwayman in 18th century England. And listen, the way you know it's 18th century England is real muddy, like super muddy. And she ends up becoming the most feared highwaywoman in the country. And she does it all with the help of a magical sprite called Billy Blind. And she realizes that her destiny is bigger than she ever imagined. This show was such a surprise to me because when it was on Disney, I thought, oh, this is a kid show. It is not a kid show. According to Common Sense Media, they're suggesting that you be 11 and up. But I do think if you have like teenage girls, they will love the show because it's very, what I love about it is there's not like a romantic angle for the lead character. The lead character is played by Louisa Harland. If you did watch my most beloved green light, one of my top five of all times, Dairy Girls, she plays Orla. And I always thought Louisa Harland was Orla. That's why she played that part so well. And now I'm like, no, she's Nell. They're so different. She's fantastic in both. This, you're just rooting for her so hard. And the supporting cast is so great. And then my favorite part is the little sprite, Billy Blind, is played by Nathan from Ted Lasso. And
oh, no
he's
way.
So good in it. Yeah, he's so good in it. And so highly recommend Disney Plus.
I've got two green lights as well this week. I'm going to go first one. I alluded to it, I guess, last week, Three Body Problem on Netflix. I finished it up last night. So the story itself, it's about basically a decision, a science decision is made in 1960s China, and it has wide-ranging ramifications, mostly in the form of an alien species traveling to Earth and set to arrive in 400 years from the time of like where the modern day of when the show is taking place. But despite the advanced timeline of the alien race, their influence, their observation, their agenda is already in motion on Earth. So hijinks are ensuing. It's like high science fiction. It's also kind of like a detective story. It's also a little cultural critique, not in like a weird way, just like, you know, in like modern times, in like modern science way. I would even say it's kind of like a slow burning War of the Worlds. You know, it's like, what if War of the Worlds was like, we'll start the war in 400 years. So there's some stuff to do first, you know, Okay. Very visually dynamic. This is from David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, the guys who adapted Game of Thrones, also with Alexander Wu. They're all three are showrunning this adaptation of the Liu Cixin novel that I've tried three or four times to read and I've never been able to. So I was really thankful that the TV adaptation came. I don't know. I've seen a lot of people frustrated with this adaptation. A lot of people kind of dumping on it. I thought it's really good. Like the book itself is a difficult, cumbersome kind of thing to adapt. I thought what they've done is really interesting. Now, again, I didn't finish it and read it, so I can't speak to like the particulars of it, but I thought for the TV we're talking about, for some of the choices they've made, even the execution of the visuals, it's tremendous. There's a handful of episodes where it's kind of the Game of Thrones style where you end the episode and you're like, I don't know what to do with myself, because that was an incredible like visual journey that I was just taken on. Isaac Gonzalez and Benedict Wong are probably the most recognizable people. Everyone else is pretty fresh faced. So I like that aspect of it, not really knowing what to expect from people. It really sets up a second and hopefully third season, I guess. But it's really good. I think I will say, don't just like casually amble into this if you're like, you're not really a sci-fi fan. I think you kind of need to be, and you want it. If you're distracted, Radish's score is low or high, or if you're distracted, I wouldn't watch this, because you kind of need to pay attention a little bit. But if you do, if you like sci-fi, if you don't, aren't distracted much when you watch some intellectually complicated material, I think you really like this. So check that out on Netflix. And then the other green light is a book. It's called The Other Valley by Scott Alexander Howard. I think I've said a few times, I really have gotten, I've become a premise kind of reader. So I like to get hooked by your premise. And then, whatever happens with like character or context, I don't care, but I buy into like the premise that you set up, and hook me with. And the premise for this is, so it takes place, in a town in a valley, but weirdly on the other side, like on the east side, is the same town, separated by 20 years earlier. And on the other, I guess, west side is the same town 20 years in the future. So you can't cross over the boundaries. But obviously time travel exists and is real in this world. And it centers on our protagonist named Odell. She's an awkward teenager. She wants a spot on like her town's basically council, which the council members get to decide who is allowed to visit from the future in the past. And the rule is, you can visit from the past to see someone who dies young, or you can visit from the future to see someone you'll never live to see. But Odell notices two visitors from a different timeline, who travel to observe her good friend Edmé. And so because she's seen this, she's forced into a decision of what's best for herself, what's best for her friend's self, what's best for her town's self in the interest of time travel. I don't usually like when a story gets really like knotted up in time travel and like what you can and can't do. This doesn't do that. It's there, it exists, but it's not going to be like, you don't have to have a physics degree to understand why things are happening. It's kind of just a plot mechanism, which I appreciate. The rest is character development and execution. And I think Scott Alexander Howard does a really great job of that. So two kind of sci-fi green lights. I think if you don't like a ton of sci-fi, maybe The Other Valley is your move. If you do, Three Body Problem is your move on Netflix. That's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And for your memory, anytime you're doing shopping on Amazon, make sure to go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcast first. So your purchases are affiliate link. If every item purchased using that link this week was, Jamie, this is Just for Men hair color.
Okay. So this has 5,000 reviews, 4.2 stars. Listen, all the joy was in the questions and answers. So my favorite first question was, I ordered two of these On June 9th, the mail person left the package where it rain flooded. I returned them and I've never received a replacement. And the big blue Caesar replied, call Mother Nature. Okay, so that's great. Second question, are you kidding? I cannot buy two, but I can buy three. And Anna replied, no, we're not kidding. Get over it. She doesn't even run just for men. All right, you guys, don't forget that our shop is now open, but only open for 13 days. So you do not want to miss out. We have a hard out so we can get you all your lovely items all over the world. We can ship anywhere where you are. We're so excited. So just head to knoxandjamie.com/shop and you can snag an array of fantastic products, including a ticket to our live stream for June 22nd. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on the internet at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening.